This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news and a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Sean, put on your wacky funster shoes. Be ready to jump in on a moment's notice.
You got it.
Have a hair trigger on that wit of yours.
I have many hairs on my trigger.
Because...
that came out really wrong.
Because Ursula, of course, isn't here today. She's off to Las Vegas. Nicole has been off gallivanting in Europe, extending her London trip for several days. She's coming back. So it's you and me holding down the fort here, man.
All right. Okay. Let's do it.
All right. And Brian Buckaloo is producing the big show today. And I told Brian that I might chit-chat with him during the Fastest 15. What's that?
What do you Somebody's playing? Computer. That was not mine.
Okay. And then what'd you tell me, Brian, when I told you I might?
I said, in my professional opinion, I'm not any good on the air.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
That's why I went into management.
Yeah.
Well, right there, Brian, that was actually pretty good, what you just said.
So, and you're now, what is it, the
assistant program director
here. So, do you know how hard it is for me to have three producers in 4 days? There's just nobody knows what got loaded and what we did when. It's been a nightmare of hell for me this week, Sean.
Yeah, it's like nobody cares. They're just throwing in whoever willy-nilly.
You finally reached the bottom with me.
Yeah, we're finally getting managers. But Nicole Jennings has been here all week and was doing a lot of that while we were in London, and you've been doing great work, as always, and putting up all our stories on My Northwest.
Thanks, Dory. It's a pleasure.
So let's get into all of this here. So have any of you bought these billion-dollar lottery tickets?
Absolutely not.
I have not. I haven't thought about it. I mean, I hear it here on the station, and when I leave the station, it just flies right out of my head.
Look, right now, Fox News is talking about it. They've got a big graphic up, and they're holding up lottery tickets on camera. I'll tell you what has me so frustrated. I watched local news last night, and I'm not going to name which stations, because we get a lot of great audio, and I think that our local news stations do a good job covering stuff here in the Puget Sound area. But two of them had stories on, here are the 10 places that are the luckiest for lotto tickets. And it's the ones where a couple of people have hit, you know, jackpots of I don't know how much. And first of all, you're not going to win if you buy a ticket. So just forget about that. I just think it's so despicable. I mean, if you give out a billion-dollar prize, that means you have collected $2 billion in money, mostly from the poorer people in our country. And that's statistically proven, that lottery tickets are disproportionately purchased by poor people. And I told you the story last year of the guy who makes $30,000 a year, and he spent about $5,000 of that on lottery tickets, just dreaming of a life. And the Washington State Lottery, you know, whatever they call it, the Department of Dreams or of Imagination, they just sell this nonsense. It is the worst odds of any gambling game. You can get craps down to under 1%. Blackjack, basic strategy. House has a 5% edge. Horse racing's tough to beat. Track has about an 18% edge. The lottery has a 50% house edge. It has about the same house edge that the mafia had when they were running numbers games on the streets of New York City and elsewhere. So, anyway, here are some local people who are dreaming about hitting this billion-dollar prize that nobody's going to win. Well, somebody will win it, but you're not going to. I'm not going to because I didn't buy any tickets. Q13, talk to this guy on the street.
We do some investment, pay off some bills, and relax. I still work, though. I'd go bored if I didn't work.
Yeah. He hits a billion-dollar prize, and he'll still work. Uh-huh. And they're selling like hotcakes.
A lot of people who normally would not buy one now are spending the $2 or $3 with the modifier to get the tickets. Everybody has a hope and a dream.
I mean, how good is that modifier that it costs 50% more? I don't even know what a modifier is. But it's not just the lowest income people. This attorney, he wouldn't buy into his office pool, but the others, they're in it big time.
Your odds are the same if you play yourself or if you play with a bunch of people. They're so astronomical, so it doesn't really make a difference. You're better off just buying on your own and not having to deal with the stress level.
You know what you're better off doing? Saving your money. That's what you're best off doing with this lotto. I can't stand that the media promotes something that is just such a government money grab. Next up in the Fastest 15. So you heard in the news at the top of the hour that there is a real controversy going on. Seattle cops haven't had a contract for 4 years. They finally have agreed to a new contract. You had the Police Guild Prez and the robot, Jenny Durkin, up at a press conference a couple of days ago announcing we've agreed to a new contract. And Seattle police morale, it is so bad right now. And they're losing cops in droves. They're having trouble recruiting cops. Well, this new contract that was like the first good piece of news Seattle cops have had in ages, it may not happen because 3 of the 9 members of the Seattle City Council, and you need a supermajority to approve the contract. You need 7 out of 9. So if 3 say no go, it's not going to happen. And that is the early indication, is that 3 of the 9 council members, Lisa Herbold, she's the grandma with the nose ring. Cool. Edgy. Then you have Mike O'Brien, the sex vulture. And then Kashama Sawant, she's just nuts. So those 3 reportedly are going to reject this new contract. And as you heard, the Seattle police are having a rally right now. They're marching from Guatemala to the U.S.-Mexico border. Oh, no, I'm confusing my rallies. Anyway, they're having a rally here in Seattle right now. And they're saying that if this contract gets voted down by the Seattle City Council, and I get it, Seattle City Council, they hate cops. That's the reason why the criminals have taken over the streets of Seattle. Because we have a city council that loves drugs and crime and hates cops. You have Sawant, who calls cops who have been acquitted in shootings murders and gets sued for libel, for slander. So you have people like that on the council. You have people like Grandma with the nose ring. You have the sex vulture. And they say, no, 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 we can't stand cops. And Mike O'Brien, by the way, whenever he's asked about all the crime on the streets, he insists that it's not his fault. I got an email he sent to a constituent. He said, and this is a person who had their bike stolen. I'm sorry about your bike being stolen. I have had a few stolen too, and it sucks. Well, hey, Mike, it sucks less if you grow up in Clyde Hill and then go to Lakeside and Duke because you've been rich your entire life and you have contempt for the working class people you represent. You don't know what it's like to have a bike stolen the way they do. When you've never wanted for anything for 1 second in your life. But here's what he wrote. I'm sorry about your bike being stolen. I've had a few stolen too, and it sucks. Second, we have done no such thing as handcuff the police from enforcing the laws. The police prioritize their responses, and I've been frustrated that they have not been more responsive, including around recovering stolen bikes. Third, if you would like some help recovering your bike, I'd be happy to try to assist. It will take some coordination, and I can't predict that we'll be successful, but if it's been spotted, there's a chance. Let me know if you want to proceed together. Oh, yeah, Mike wants to help out a citizen now because her bike's stolen. When he's done as much as anybody to foster this climate of crime and drugs on the streets of Seattle. So now, and now he's going to reportedly vote down this new contract. And Seattle police, they're going to lose so many cops. I know so many Seattle cops who have applied for lateral positions in surrounding agencies because they cannot stand working for the politicians in the city of Seattle anymore. Next up in the big lead, I love Nikki Haley, who just resigned, effective at the end of the year, as our UN ambassador. When she was governor of South Carolina, she's wildly popular. She's a woman who Republicans love and Democrats really like. And that's why there's been a lot of talk that if Nikki Haley jumped in 2020 to challenge Trump, that she could steal the Republican nomination away from him and would be a strong front runner to win the presidency against whoever the Democrats put up. Unless they put up Inslee, who would crush everyone in the field, of course. But Nikki Haley, she was at this Al Smith dinner last night, which happens every year. It's named after a former governor of New York. And she was really funny. And, you know, somebody else writes the jokes for these people whenever they get up at this or the White House Correspondents' Dinner or whatever. But she said she got advice, do not make fun of President Trump at this dinner.
Everyone in Washington called me with advice about this speech. They all said the same thing. Do not, under any circumstances, make any jokes about the president. So good night, everybody.
I remember a couple weeks ago when President Trump was in front of the United Nations bragging about all of his accomplishments, and the delegates started laughing at him. Wasn't with him. And Trump said, oh, I didn't expect that kind of response.
Actually, the president called me this morning and gave me some really good advice. He said, if I get stuck for laughs, just brag about his accomplishments. It really killed at the UN, I gotta tell you.
And then here was her best line of the night. Because her heritage is, her family's from India. She is an Indian woman. And she said,
last year you went with Paul Ryan, who's a Boy Scout, and that's fine, but a little boring. So this year you wanted to spice things up again, right? I get it. You wanted an Indian woman, but Elizabeth Warren failed her DNA test.
That's a good line. That's a really good line. I think Nikki Haley would be formidable, but she said she's not going to run in 2020. Next up in the Fastest 15. So have you guys listened to this ad for the Republican candidate, congressman candidate in Arkansas?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
This is one of the strangest political ads I have ever heard in my life. A GOP congressman in Arkansas, his name is French Hill, and a PAC that is not associated with the congressman, but it's a Republican PAC that is producing ads all around the country for Republican candidates. And they have an ad that is designed for black constituents in Arkansas to support the Republican candidate. And you are about to hear one of the most amazing political ads that I've heard in a long, long time.
What do you think about what's happening in Washington?
Our Congressman French Hill and the Republicans know that it's dangerous to change the presumption of innocence to a presumption of guilt, especially for black men. If the Democrats can do that to a white justice of the Supreme Court with no evidence, no corroboration, and all of her witnesses, including her best friend, say it didn't happen, what will happen to our husbands, our fathers, or our sons when a white girl lies on them?
Girl, white Democrats will be lynching black folk again.
Honey, I've always told my son, don't be messing around with that. If you get caught, she will cry rape.
I'm voting to keep Congressman French Hill and the Republicans because we have to protect our men and boys. We can't afford to let white Democrats take us back to bad old days of race verdicts, life sentences, and lynchings when a white girl screams rape.
Paid for by black Americans for the president's agenda. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I've never heard anything like that before.
I don't know why they didn't just cut a clip from To Kill a Mockingbird or something.
It's absolutely incredible. So that's why African Americans in Arkansas need to vote for the Republican incumbent congressman so their fathers and husbands and sons don't get wrongfully accused of rape. That is something else there. Okay, next up, who loaded this audio? Which one of you on the guy who had 39 kids?
That was me. For the first and only time in my life, I Googled sperm XL.
Okay, I was wondering if I could play the clip, but since you just said that, I guess I can.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, no, I listened to it. I'm having misgivings. This guy, Ari Nagel, he's 43 years old. He's best known. He's a New York college professor, and he has fathered 39 children by 20 different women in both traditional and non-traditional ways. And he's picked up this sweet endorsement.
My name is Ari Nagel, and people often ask me, what's my secret to having a high sperm count? I recommend Sperm XL.
I mean, what else are you going to endorse? Insurance? I mean, what else? I'm not going to play the whole thing. Okay, and finally, in the Fastest 15, The Simpsons has been known for predicting things years and years and years ahead of when they actually come to be. And as you know, this week, cannabis, weed, became legal through all of Canada. So Canada, geographically speaking, is the largest purveyor of marijuana in the world now. Which is ironic because in an episode of The Simpsons 13 years ago, Bart and Homer went up to Manitoba. Oh, and they were with Ned Flanders. And they met the Canadian version of Ned Flanders up there.
Well, circle cut my bacon. Look at all these Yankee doodly dandies. Is there another Vietnam going on?
Hello, neighborino to the north. I sure like the cut of your gibberish.
Cohen doodly diddly. Oodly.
Italy oodly.
Pick a doodly.
Loony oodly.
Noodly doddly diddly doddly. Loony oodly. Daddler Atner.
Maple Adley.
Noodly doddly diddly doddly. Say, would you like to puff on a reeferino? It's legal here.
They warned me Satan would be attractive. Let's go.
They called it. They knew it was going to be legal up in Canada eventually. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. I feel bad, Sean. I said at the beginning I was going to lean on you, and then I just didn't give you any openings because I had so much news in front of me.
Yeah, what's up with that, Dory?
You know what? I'm a very selfish man.
It's all right. Your name's not, you know, it's only on the show.
Yeah. It sure is. We're going to check the news for you and then going to talk to a business owner or business rep up in Everett. Wait till you hear what happened to two of his employees that made one of them immediately quit his job and leave the state. It's coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. It's a long line of stories we've had of what the crime in our region is meaning to average citizens. We've had a couple more stories of women being attacked in parks this week. We had people attacked at Northwest University in Kirkland. I told you an hour ago the story about the RV that went through the West Seattle Health Club and ruptured a gas line and did $300,000 worth of damage. There are attacks on the street because of all the drug vagrants throughout our region. Let me take you up to Everett, where Dave Eigel is a field manager for Morris Hansen Enterprises, and he joins us here on Cairo Radio. Dave, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you, sir.
And I appreciate you alerting me to this story of what happened to your employees. So you guys are a window cleaning company. You contract with businesses and business owners that and go clean their windows, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Everything from houses to the high rises downtown.
Okay. Tell me what happened to two of your employees who were at the BECU in Everett a couple of days ago.
Yeah, last Wednesday, two of our guys, we do all the BECU branches, so they were just out doing what we just call the BECU run, where they'll just stop by five or six different ones and clean the windows. One of the guys was inside, and one went outside to grab some more towels to wipe the frames off. and saw two guys rooting through the van. So he approached them. It's like, you know, get out of my van. The one gentleman over across the other side of the van drew a gun and said, no, this is my van. And the other guy came up and sucker punched him from behind. By then, the other guy had come around the van and drew the gun on him and told him to give him his wallet, and he wouldn't, so he struck him a few times with the pistol. He finally gave it up, and then the other guy that was inside told the people in the bank, call the cops, there's somebody robbing us outside. So the bank called the police officers, and like 40 minutes went by, and nobody had showed up, so the bank called again. Now it's an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, nobody's still there. So our guys finally gave up and just went to the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office and filled out a report then.
So,
the one guy that was attacked, he freaked out because they took his wallet and thought they were going to come to his house. He just freaked out and he quit and packed everything and moved it back to Texas.
Really? In a heartbeat, seriously. Your employee quit his job and moved out of here that quick?
He said he's seen enough around here. He said he's just been approached by so many different, you know, vagrants on the streets asking for cigarettes, asking for money, whatever. He just said, I just can't live around this anymore. I'm going back to Texas.
What time of day was this attack?
It's probably 1 in the afternoon.
And this
right?
was
broad daylight.
This was a week ago Wednesday, right?
Correct.
Well, I'm very curious about the lack of police response. So you're telling me that you reported an armed robbery, and Everett police never showed in the 45 minutes or so you waited?
And an armed robbery and assault. You know, I mean, they pistol whipped the guy, you know, and the bank told them, you know, these guys are being assaulted by guns in our parking lot, and nobody showed up.
Have you had any follow-up with Everett PD to find out why?
I have not. I'm not the owner of the company. Our owner is trying to get some information from them to find out, you know, why you didn't even at least send somebody out to see if our guys were okay, or check for fingerprints, or check footage, you know, video footage or something.
So, what was the Snohomish County Sheriff? Because if it happened in the city of Everett, that should be city police jurisdiction. What happened when you guys went into the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office?
I personally did not go. Just the two gentlemen that were, I'm a field manager, so I was just out running around, and I got a phone call about it. So our boss told them just to go to the closest station they could find, so they just Googled it and found the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office, so that's where they ended up going.
And they did, my staff confirmed with you, they did file a report with Snohomish County Sheriff's.
Sir.
Yeah, okay. But did they didn't refer your guys to Everett PD?
Not that I know of. I honestly not sure if they even corresponded with Everett PD to see if there was, you know, a call made for it or anything.
So your other employee, the one who has not quit, what has he told you about the experience?
He was the one that was inside, so he wasn't actually encountered by either of the guys. He was coming out the door and saw it happening, and he just turned around and ran inside and told them to call the cops. So he's not really as freaked out. He's freaked out at the fact that it happened, you know. I mean, broad daylight, and you get robbed and at a bank location.
Well, tell me a little...
Go ahead.
Tell me a little more about the conversation with your employee who quit, because I understand being freaked out, but to, in a matter of days, quit your job, move out of the Puget Sound area and go to Texas, that is an extreme life decision in a very stressful moment.
I agree. I guess that's where he was living before he had came up here.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, Texas isn't like this. I mean, they don't have it like this, where you have just vagrant people all over the place. You know, I mean, this isn't the first attack, obviously. I will listen to you every day. I mean, you hear about tourists getting attacked in Seattle, and I mean, I told my boss that, too. I love my job, but if anything's going to drive me away from this state, it's going to be this city. I can't. It's insane trying to live around here.
No, it's funny. I talked to an old, longtime friend of mine last night, and he told me he and his wife are starting to look elsewhere in the country because they just don't know. And this is somebody who has done fantastic things philanthropically in this city, and they're thinking about getting out because they just can't believe what's happened to our region.
I mean, I geographically, I love it here. It's a gorgeous place to live. But for the politics and all the just lack of concern with the city council and not letting the police actually do their job, you know, just they're walking around with their hands tied. And
well, look, up in Snohomish County, where you guys are, the prosecutors there have legalized drugs. If you have small possession amounts, heroin, meth, cocaine, anything, they will not prosecute you. They announced that a few months ago. And, of course, we're attracting the drug addicts to our region. King County has done the same thing. So yeah, we're attracting the worst of the worst from around the country. Well, Dave, I'm sorry for what's happened to your employees, but I appreciate you letting me know. We'll keep shining a light on these things until our region starts electing people who have an ounce of common sense.
Yeah, I hope this election goes well and the people that are up for re-election do not get re-elected because something's got to change around here.
Yeah, we got a clean house. All right, Dave, he's with Morris Hansen Enterprises. Dave, appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you, Dory.
Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me on the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. And we have much more straight ahead on The Dory Monson Show. On Sunday, I was in London doing the post-game show, and my youngest daughter said, is it okay if I have a bunch of friends over tomorrow for pumpkin carving? And I said, well, look, I'm going to be traveling. It's going to take me 20 hours to get home from my hotel to the house. And I go, when I get home at 9 o'clock, I got a bunch of work to do. And she said, oh, no, we'll be done by then. And they had a blast. You know, they put down the sheets. They're on the kitchen floor. They're out on the deck. They were carving. They did some really fun stuff. I'm not artistic. I'm no good. I get embarrassed because my wife and I, not so much anymore at our age, but, you know, years ago, we'd have friends who would have pumpkin carving nights, and we'd go over and just have fun evening. But I have no artistic talent. None. Radio talk is my art. So I've never been much of a pumpkin carver, but the other Nicole Jennings, who does all of our stories on My Northwest and beyond, had a great idea. And that was, look, we're all so fed up with the politics of this region. So what was the idea you pitched to me yesterday, Nicole? Your mic's not on. Let's get that.
There we go. Well, I just thought we should all express our love for this great city of Seattle by having a contest to see who can carve the best pumpkin that represents their love for Seattle, that best represents the image that comes to your mind when you think of Seattle.
What Seattle is all about today. So I think that's a fabulous idea. So if you are, and have we secured a prize yet for our winner?
What do you think a good prize would be?
Well, I don't know. I'll see if I can get... Well, I can't commit to anything because I haven't secured it yet. Mm-hmm. But we'll come up with something fun for our winner. So that's the thought, is with at least one of your pumpkins, carve something that you think best represents Seattle or the Puget Sound region today, and send us a picture. Take a picture, send it to us. You can send it via our Facebook page, facebook.com/Dory Monson, DoriMonson. And we're going to come up with a fabulous prize. I'm going to see if I can get Seahawk tickets. I'll see. But I'll let you know on Monday for sure, because the people who decide that aren't around today. But start working on that. A pumpkin that best represents what Seattle is all about today. And whoever comes up with the very best idea, we will have a prize for you. So start working on that. Buy one extra pumpkin. And man, talk about scary. You want the scariest pumpkin of them all when you put it out on your porch on Halloween night? And I will tell you something else about Halloween. Because I loved when my girls were little. And there's this one house three doors down from where we live. And for more than 20 years now, Because I don't do Halloween up big. I'm not a big fan of Halloween. But they have speakers outside of their house. They have all the decorations. And they have this song playing for like 4, 5, 6 hours on Halloween night. And we had neighbors in the other direction. And they would have pizza. All the parents and kids would go. Kids in the costumes. And then the dads would take the kids out trick-or-treating. The moms, I believe wine was involved when they stayed behind at the house. And, oh, I loved when my girls were little. I miss so much of it. The one thing I do not miss is Halloween. I hate it. Taking my kids out trick-or-treating for the stupidest of reasons. It just goes against my grain, and I'm really serious about this. I don't like my kids getting something for nothing. I don't like when they had to go and ask neighbors to buy tickets for the school raffle or buy car wash tickets. I'm not crazy, and I shouldn't say this, but when neighbors come up to us, the neighbor kids,
you want a $20 lottery ticket, raffle ticket? You can win a car.
No, I got a car. And I always felt, I know this is stupid. I know it's stupid. I know it's borderline irrational. But I always felt like I was just escorting my kids around to be moochers. Trick or treat. And they didn't even do the tricks if nobody had the treat. So they were lying, too. My kids were being taught to lie because they had no trick planned if the homeowner had no treat. And then they're moochers. Is that stupid of me? Plus, you know, like Monday nights, Saturday nights, there'd be football games on. I'd rather do that than walk my kids around in the rain on Halloween. Ugh. I'm not a fan of Halloween at all. But I want to find out what you associate most with Seattle right now. So give us your Seattle-themed pumpkin. Send us a picture. Fabulous prize for the winner. Hey, what's going on with our local police departments? Yes, departments, plural. We'll talk about that and more on the bullet train. Ooh, that's a dumb idea. All straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show.